to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
Welcome to episode number 97 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Well, last year it was Chase and Denny. This year it's Joey and Martin Truex Jr. What a finish. What drama. What more could we ask for with three races left to go in the season? I'll get to that here in a bit. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It was cold and rainy up here in Metro Detroit all weekend. So I got two quick stories, funny stories, hopefully, before I get into everything with this past weekend. So sold my Lions tickets for the game this weekend because it's Martinsville. Wanted to watch Martinsville. Literally sold the tickets to this weekend's game like weeks ago because it's Martinsville. Want to watch Martinsville. So Saturday night, my buddy, who also has season tickets, much nicer seats and club seats, was like, hey, you want to go? And I was literally torn. I'm like, the Lions were 3-3, making a little bit of a mid-season push, a lot of hype. I'll be out of town the next two Sundays, one of which next weekend will be in Minneapolis to watch and go see the Lions. And I'm like, oh, man. Well, typically Martinsville, I can probably catch up DVR pretty quick. First half of the race, probably pretty typical, which is exactly what happened. And I'll be home ready to go for the second half of the race. So I ended up going to see that abysmal performance rooting for the Lions against the Seahawks. And, you know, for those that aren't familiar with the Detroit Lions, I'm going to sum up here what it's like being a Lions fan. It's like insanity. You know, every year, Detroit Lions fans drink that Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid, and we start off with a Super Bowl to maybe a playoff game at home to maybe we can back into a wild card to, hey, maybe we can finish above 500, and hey, next year's our year and hit repeat. And kid you not, that's exactly what happened today when Golden Tate gets traded to the Eagles. We got a third-round pick. Cool. Looking great for next year. So the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So that is Lions fans. We are all insane, literally, because we continue to root for them over and over, expect a different result, and don't get it, which is why I'm a diehard Patriots fan. So, one other funny story for you. Lindsay has been begging me to take her to go see the movie called A Star is Born. Now, I am not a movie goer. Maybe I'll go once a year, and if I do, it's to go see a comedy. So Lindsay's been on me since the preview started for that thing to go and take her to see that. So last Wednesday was D-Day. That was supposed to be the day, and I got to go take her to the movies after work, and I am legit complaining about it, like whining like the Snickers commercials, guys. Like, I do not want to go waste 3 hours for some sat fest. No, thank you. So last Tuesday night while I was doing the show, I get a text from one of our friends and she goes, hey, I can go to the movies with Lindsay tomorrow. I'm like, hell yeah, you can go to the movies with Lindsay tomorrow. So Lindsay's like, what the hell? And she literally got mad at me and a small argument ensued. And I said, I go, Lindsay, your premise was you wanted to go see the movie. Don't get mad at me for outsourcing that to somebody else. You should be happy you went to the movie and saw the movie. But I digress. Anyways, Lotto fever is over. I did not hit the Mega or the Powerball. So as it stands right now, next season will be done same place, same time in the Man Cave. And unfortunately, we'll not be taking the show on the road. But speaking of the show, episode 100 is so close. Can't wait. Two more episodes to go after tonight. Thursday, November 15th. I have a huge, huge show lined up for Thursday, November 15th. It is going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. Don't forget, though, that week's Tuesday show, the 13th, episode 99 will be a best of show. The giveaways will continue over the next couple weeks, and we'll do one on episode 100, of course, and got one later on tonight, giving away two t-shirts to two followers. So maybe you will be a lucky winner. And I have decided I'm going to do a second listener call-in show November 27th. First one went really good. So if you want to be a part of the 2018 season wrap-up listener call-in show, go to the website, laptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page. Let me know you want to be a part of that, and I will get you scheduled. Hopefully we can get another 6 to 8 calls lined up for that night, and should be a lot of fun. And also, be on the lookout over the next couple weeks for the Listener Awards show on the website where you go and vote, pick your driver of the year, race of the year, and a few other fun topics as well. All right, that is enough of me rambling. Let's get on with the show. Tonight, from NASCAR Talk on NBC, Mr. Daniel McFadden will be back on the show here in just a minute. We're going to talk trucks. We're going to talk Xfinity Martinsville, social media shout-outs, couple silly season updates. Aaron will be back for the weather this week. Lucky dog lap down picks. Fantasy will close it out. Let's get rolling. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, you've probably read a few of his pieces on NBCSports.com, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast, Mr. Daniel McFadden. What's up, dude?
I'm doing great, man. I'm ready for round two on Lap Traffic here.
Excellent.
Let's get into some trouble, but not too much trouble.
Fair enough. We can handle that. So last time we chatted on the show was back on episode 88, almost 10 shows ago, and then we got to meet and hang out at Darlington, which was freaking awesome.
We did the podcast before Darlington. I was trying to remember when we did that.
A little bit of a blur, right? That far back.
That was a month, man. The last month's been a very long year. So,
I feel you. I'm with you there. So you were at Martinsville, and we'll get into the racing action from this past weekend in a little bit, but just talk a little bit about the experience and the atmosphere of Martinsville. What's it like out there?
Well, this was the 1, 2, 3, 5th time I've done Martinsville. I've gone to each race the last 2 years. And the first time I went was in the fall of 2014 when Dale Jr. Won his race.
Nice.
So that was the first time I've been there. No, Martinsville is really cool. It's basically, you know, kind of like, the Wrigley Field of NASCAR in a way, because it's right there in the middle of a small town. There's like a middle school, I think, or a high school right across the street from the track. It's, you know, it's really confined in that, you know, half mile track. It gets very loud in there. It's a constant drone once the green flag drops. It's of all the tracks I've, gotten the chance to go to, it's probably the coolest one, either that or Bristol. So, but yeah, Martinsville is an experience.
Could you sense a buzz from the fans? Like, were they pumped up, ready to go from when they pulled in?
I don't know. Because I got there and I went straight to the garage and had to stand next to the inspection line for a while, for half of inspection to keep track of that. So I didn't really get to interact with fans per se. But they were buzzing about 8 hours later.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So, I got two questions for you, and it pertains to around the Stewart Haas car. So all four Stewart Haas cars make it to the round of eight. First question, if you're Joe Gibbs, if you're HMS, Penske, RCR, and you see the entire SHR team still technically racing for a championship halfway through the playoffs, are you mad? Are you impressed? Are you skeptical? If you're these other team owners, how are you viewing SHR right now?
Jealous envy. That's all it really can be.
That's fair.
There's a 40 car field and there's 16 playoff drivers at the start of it. And through, after two rounds, it's they're still there,
right?
JGR's gotten the other two drivers they had were knocked out in the first and second round, and so Hendrick is Hendrick this year, and you got only Chase Elliott to be able to brag about. So it's gonna be complete jealous envy, and there are, I'm sure they're eager for next year. When you know, especially the Ford team's like, all right, guys, you're getting a new car next year. It's going to be your turn to struggle, or they're hoping.
Sure.
They're hoping that'll be the case.
Right, right. No, I'm with you.
So, SHR, they're the class of the field this year. And that was just evident at Talladega, where they put on a whooping.
Yes, yeah, they put on a clinic, that is for sure. So second question, from a Stuart Haas perspective, odds would suggest that probably one. I mean, there is the chance that none of them make it to Homestead, but there's a big point differential. So odds are probably Harvick is at least getting in. If your SHR getting as far as you've gotten with all four, are you impressed from a team perspective, or are you upset that you're not dominating more with getting two or three cars to Homestead?
Well, it's entirely possible they can get two. I don't see them getting three.
No.
They should be very proud of what they've done, especially in your second year with a manufacturer, to just come out, kick the door down, and then just kick everyone's butt for a year.
Right, exactly.
from Atlanta on, it's you know, they've, I mean, what Stuart Haas has turned into since they became Stuart Haas, back in the mid-late 2000s, I can't remember exactly when they formed into their current iteration. They're the best team in NASCAR. They're what everyone feared out of Hendrick just 5 years ago.
Right. No, exactly.
It's a cyclical thing. Five, 6 years ago, Roush, Hendrick, they were on top.
Yeah.
They were the guys to fear. And now they're down here.
Yeah.
Looking up at Stuart Haas, Joe Gibbs, Furniture Row. I mean, you got a one car team.
Right. It's definitely a roller coaster effect.
And this isn't something it's not something I would have expected a couple of years ago. I mean, month or two ago, I saw a stat via, you know, Racing Insights, and it said, here's the teams and how many times they've won in the last year. And at the bottom was Hendrick with one and RCR with one. And you have these two teams at the top, and Stuart Haas and Furniture Row, that didn't even exist 20 years ago.
Sure. And down the class of the field.
So, like, if you'd ask the fan to look at this list 10 years ago, and they would be confused.
Sure.
By the power, how it's being wielded throughout the field right now.
Absolutely. All right. Next question for you. What has shocked you the most about the playoffs thus far? Someone making it, not making it. For me, it's Brad Keselowski winning three in a row to close out the season, two in a row to close out the season, win the first race of the playoffs, getting eliminated. And I think my second would be only one win from the big three, seven races into the playoffs. So what is your kind of like shock moment so far through the playoffs?
Probably the big three one. And when you look at the reasons why that's the case, it's just flukes.
Sure.
I mean, Truex, he should have two wins,
right?
He should have four. He had the car to win at Las Vegas, won the first two stages, and then he got poorly timed cautions, and he didn't have the short run speed. Should have won that race. Had the best car at Richmond, and then he gets a pit penalty during the stage two caution, and sends him back to the pack, and he can only get up to third. And then you have the Roval, and then you have this week at Martinsville.
Sure.
If certain things go certain ways, I mean, which you could say this about anyone, anywhere, Martin Truex is just putting the boot on everyone's throat.
Sure. Sure.
But he's not. He's shaking his head after Martinsville and saying Joey Logano's not going to win the war.
Yes. Yes.
So, I think it's that. And you have Harvick, who's also dominated races, and then stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah. He could have. I mean, he had the potential to win three races. He could have swept the round for the round of 12. All right. One more for you, and then we'll get into racing from this weekend here. I know it's early, but I want a prediction from you on what is going to be a headline early in 2019. I want a bold-ass prediction.
Early 2019. Bold. About, like, before the season starts? Or?
No, like, maybe first five races in.
First five. My bold prediction is that Daniel Hamrick will be your Daytona 500 winner.
Ooh, I like that. RCR back-to-back Daytona 500 victories. I like that. All right. All right. My bold ass prediction is that, and this is stretching it, but I'm hopeful because I really like him and he's been a big supporter of the show. So it's a small homer pick, but Matt DiBenedetto has three top tens through the first 10 races.
Yeah.
It's bold. It's bold.
Yeah.
It's bold. And I hope for him that that comes to fruition for him. So.
Hey, man, like, if you rewind the season and watch the final, like, 20 laps of the Daytona 500, Matt DiBenedetto was, like, in the top five.
Yes. Yeah.
And then there was that huge wreck that, you know, Ryan Blaney caused when he was trying to block the field. But, yeah, that would have been something if Matt DiBenedetto had pulled in the victory lane in the – what was the movie? Hurricane Heist. I believe he was sponsored by the Hurricane Heist.
Oh,
movie.
Yes. That would have been something.
If he had pulled in the victory lane in that car, Daytona 500 winner.
Yes, that would have been something. Yeah. That would have been something.
So is that something you've been asking people over the last
– Nope, I just try to come up with something different for everyone. Something a little new.
Okay, all right.
So, all right. Let's get to some racing from this past weekend. We were at Martinsville, obviously. Johnny Sauter in the Truck Series goes out and does what Johnny Sauter does, and that's put on a clinic when he gets to victory lane, picking up his sixth win on the season, 14th top five, 16th top 10. Mind you, that's out of 20 races. Just a dominating season so far coming from Johnny Sauter.
I get Johnny Sauter's motto should be old guys rule at this point, because, you know, a lot NASCAR's really seems to be in a hurry to get these young guys into the to be the stars.
Sure.
And have them driving storyline, and Johnny Sauter's like, not this year. No, I'm yeah.
Not yet.
It's really impressive. It really is. That he's doing this now, and he's doing it consistently. And really, I mean, all year, it's been basically two drivers. Johnny Sauter and Brett Moffitt have been the most consistent drivers since, you know, the drop of the green flag.
Yep. Well, speaking of Brett, you know, he struggled a little bit on Saturday outside the top 10 in stages one and two. He finished ninth in stage two, battled, made adjustments, and patiently moved up the board in stage three, finished second to Sauter. And I think he was quoted saying after the race, that's the worst second place he's ever got. You know,
really?
it hit him hard, you know, wanted to go out there and take home that grandfather clock and get to Homestead. But, you know, just for that team at Hattori Racing to be able to have the sponsor struggles that they had, even with all the wins that they were racking up, I really tip my hat to what that team's been able to do with Brett. First season with them there, you know, Ryan Truex was in the car in that truck, for a couple of years. And so for Brett to go out there and do that and go out there and compete, you know, it's not like he's only winning when Sauter's wrecked out. I mean, I fondly remember Michigan, mainly because I was there, but, you know, being out there on the last lap and competing and beating Johnny to the line. I mean, he can wheel that truck.
Oh, no. It's really impressive that he's showing how good he is at all these different type of tracks.
100%.
That's what's really impressed me. He didn't really get a chance. Well, actually, no, I take that back. At Talladega, he had a beat up car.
Yeah.
And he still had a shot to win it there. Yep. In the last few laps. I gotta credit the power of the mustache, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The mustache is still there, and I actually wrote a story about this right before the playoffs started. Like, if he wins the truck title, he will be the first NASCAR champion with a mustache since Jack Sprague back in, I believe, the early 2000s.
Nice.
So there's been
there's no stat. We've been stashless.
There's been guys with full beards, you know, and or other facial hair combinations, but he'd be the first one with a full stash.
I love it.
So
I want to get your take on John Hunter Nemechek.
Okay.
Had some issues. Finished 30th. Sure, he would have liked to have followed up his Kansas Xfinity win with a truck win at Martinsville. What do you see the future holding next year potentially with John Hunter? Do we see him in a full-time ride, truck, Xfinity? What do you think happens with John Hunter next year?
I think all the indications have been given that he'll still be with
Nemco.
I'm talking. Well, as far as Xfinity, he'll still be with Ganassi. Though I imagine he'll probably have a few more rides than that. I talked to Ross Chastain on Sunday at Martinsville, and he still doesn't know what the plan is for him at Ganassi. So what we'll see. How that operation it'll be interesting to see what the dynamic.
Think they might share a ride for the season and just split it between the two of them, or do you think that is there the potential for Chip to have another Xfinity car, or is it going to be shared with the likes of Kyle Larson still getting some seats time in 2019?
As for two cars, I mean, it would depend on sponsorship.
Sure, yeah.
But they got the backing of DC Solar, but even DC Solar's not on the car all year. So it'll be up in the air. You're definitely going to have to see, a cut back in races. Because Larson's reached that, 5-year threshold limit on stuff. So, and he hasn't been in the playoffs this year. So it might look more of the same.
Okay.
Just the ratio of races might change.
Sure. All right. Let's look at the truck standings here. Sauter punched his ticket to Homestead, which I don't think anyone is surprised by that. You got Gregson in second, Moffitt in third. They've got a pretty decent points lead over 4 through 6. If neither of them are able to win and Sauter were to pick up another, potential for two guys to maybe make it in on points. I said it last week. I thought Crafton was going to have to win at Martinsville. I thought this was his track to potentially go in and make it happen. And here he sits in sixth. To me, he hasn't shown the speed to indicate he's going to be able to go out at a mile and a half at Texas and get it done. Maybe a last effort at ISM. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think everyone's surprised, including the team itself, that the 88 truck has not been where it has the last few years. Even last year it wasn't terribly hot. I mean, they only won at Eldora,
yep,
which surprised everyone.
Sure.
But I think the switch to Ford really, I don't think they anticipated it holding them back as much as it did. It's been those three drivers, Sauter, Moffitt, Gregson, all year. Really, you should have seen some more wins by John Hunter Nemechek.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he got snake bit multiple times.
Yep.
When it comes to those guys who are currently, outside the cut line there, I'm surprised Justin Haley and Grant Enfinger made it this far.
And they're only separated by 2 points. That's the crazy thing there. Like, it could be a battle for them,
Definitely. You're going to a mile and a half, so you got to expect Sauter to still be good. I just really expect it to be Sauter, Gregson, Moffitt at least Texas. I'm not sure what to expect from ISM. which is going to be a whole different animal now with its new
configure
location for the finish line anyway. Right.
Yep. Well, the trucks are back on track for some Friday night action under the lights in Texas this weekend. Definitely be looking forward to that one. Let's talk a little Xfinity here. Xfinity guys were on their final off week of the season. But as you probably recall, we had a major shakeup to the Xfinity playoff standings after Kansas. The Xfinity series for me this year has been a little bit different. And I think that's because you had guys like Busch, Harvick, Larson, Keselowski going out there. But you had some more Xfinity regulars getting wins and multiple wins, which I think is cool that these guys are going out there and improving with the Cup guys out there. You know, I've voiced my opinion on that a lot. You know, I get it. But I also think on the same token, some of your more exciting regular season Xfinity races or the Dash for Cash where you don't have the Cup guys out there. I get why they're out there. So I love the fact that you're getting Xfinity regulars going out there and getting more wins during the regular season. That said, Daniel Hemric is now in first place without a win, which is a similar spot that Sadler found himself in last year. He was in third without a win, and he made his way to Homestead. So is it possible, with how things shaped up at Kansas, that we could have two winless Xfinity drivers get to Homestead?
Well, I mean, when you look at the eight drivers, oh, come on, Brandon, off the top of your head without looking, of the eight playoff drivers, how many have won this year?
Three. We got three.
Were you looking? You were looking.
I am looking. You? I'm not going to lie. I'm looking. Everybody knows I've got like a novel of show sheets that I come to the show with each week. So, yes, I'm definitely looking.
But yeah, I mean, you only have three guys who've won this year, even with the cut drivers. I mean, because you have part-time driver or not part-time. You have guys, you know, like Nemechek winning, and you have Ross Chastain getting one, even though he's a full-time driver. But yeah, you got three, and all of them are they're Tyler Reddick in third, Christopher Bell in fourth, and Justin Allgaier in sixth. And Justin Allgaier's had just pretty terrible playoff experience.
Yes.
So far. And that was before they crashed on the first lap in Kansas, which was just the most bizarre first 15 laps of an Xfinity race that I can remember.
That was nuts. That was crazy. I said it last week on the show that, you know, the Xfinity guys skipped Talladega. Kansas ended up being the Talladega of the Xfinity series.
Yeah, I mean, so that was a good assessment. And I mean, it took out Allgaier, it took out Bell, it took out Cindric. Custer was able to finish the race, even though he was.
Yeah, he's in a deep hole. You know, I guess I look at it as is it's spots three through six right now that have a potential shot to make it. You know, I don't know Cole Custer's going to go out and win at Texas. I don't think Austin Cindric, you know, I'm going to assume those two are out. You know, anything can happen, obviously, as we all know when we get to the racetrack. But I look at the fact and I just think, What a storybook ending for Elliott Sadler if he's able to make it to Homestead and potentially win the championship again without winning a race and cap off his career. I mean, I didn't think he was going to make it, but with the way things played out with Kansas, it's a possibility. And I love that part of the story, which I think is awesome.
Oh, no, that for me, if he's able to do that, that would – personally, I think that's the story of either of the championships in the top three series. No, if okay, let me put this to you: which of these three would be bigger for you? Moffitt winning with the Torrey in the truck series with his mustache, Sadler winning the championship in his final outing, or Truex giving Furniture Row Racing a championship in its final season, which would be bigger for you?
I love this question, man. That's awesome. And I got to be honest, I'd have to say Sadler. I'd have to go with Sadler, only because I love the Brett Moffitt story, but he's not done. You know, he's going to continue to go out there. I would assume, whether it's with Vettori or someone else, he's young at least, so I would hope his career is not over. You know, Martin Truex has the championship already, so I think you have to go with Sadler with that question.
I think I'm on board with you with that one. It'd be one of those old guys' roles.
Absolutely.
I love seeing these grizzled, gray-bearded veterans just holding on and scrapping and being successful with the onslaught of the youth movement.
Absolutely.
That would be like the ultimate final old guy, because he's been doing this since 1995. Brandon.
Yes, I know.
I was four when he first started racing.
Well, I wasn't quite that young, but wait, 95, I was 11. So yeah, I'm with you.
So
all right, let's get over to the Cup Series, the big dance where it all went down. Denny Hamlin picking up the Stage 1 win. Joey Logano, the Stage 2 winner and the race winner. So we'll get to the end and the elephant in the room here in a minute. Let's hit a couple highlight notes.
Did something interesting happen Sunday?
Mild. A 4 out of 10.
I was there, but there was a lot of stuff happening.
Right, I get it. You know, just people on social media, you know. So, all right. First off, props to Chris Buescher finishing 13th. Great run by those guys to get a top 15th. I like that. Tough break for Clint Bowyer. Ran well there in the spring. Took home a grandfather clock. Finished 21st, worst of the playoff contenders there. Rough day for Kevin Harvick. Started 13th. Found himself a lap down. Got that back. Finished 10th, but not the day you would have expected from that team. Like you said, you were there. Without getting to the actual talking about the finish of the race, what was your take on the race?
Outside the final 15 laps, it was an okay race. The stage finishes were great, which once again at least showed that Martinsville is an ideal track for stages.
Sure.
But other than that, it was really mild, sort of, I would say. Didn't have any multi-car bad wrecks. You really didn't. Right? How many cautions were there? I don't know how many.
I think there were 6, maybe 7.
So, and 2 of those were for the stages. And you had the Larson blew an engine.
Yeah.
Bowyer spin. Johnson spin. And then you had Jeb Burton getting into the wall early. So it was really... It was
pretty
tame,
clean. Yeah, it was pretty clean.
But there were intense races, one-on-one battles throughout it. But I don't think if you were just asking someone, hey, what'd you think of those first 2 stages? They'd be like, oh, it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
But it that final, 20, 15 laps were some of the best racing, I would say, from the year. You had those top 5 drivers really almost nose to tail for up until, 6 to go. And it was just like, who's going to mess up? Who's going to get the boot? Who's going to, what's going to happen?
And you knew it was coming. It was an inevitability. You knew it was going to happen. I actually kind of thought, when Joey and Truex were side by side there for like 5 laps, I think Joey let up and purposely fell to second so he could give the boot or at least attempt the bump and run. I mean, I really thought, I mean, the way they were racing hard side by side, they could have finished like that, in my opinion. So I kind of think he wanted that second position. To me, it kind of reminded me of like Talladega tandem racing. You didn't want to be first. You wanted to be on the bumper of the car so that you could make the move. I don't know. I saw that. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
It's possible. He hasn't said anything to validate
that. I get it.
But you know, I think Truex and Cole Pern both said we shouldn't have cleared him down the backstretch. But I mean, if I was a driver in that situation, and I know I can get into the first place, I want to get there as soon as possible.
Sure.
And okay. Everyone's talking about, you know, Truex driving clean. You know, that last six laps, Truex drove clean the entire race.
Yeah,
and he got. I don't know where, off the top of my head, where he started after he had to start from the rear due to failing inspection.
33rd.
Okay. He got to the lead after that.
At Martinsville. Yes.
That was an incredible drive by Truex.
Yes.
He had such great long run speed, and what he was able to do Sunday should be applauded.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he did.
Absolutely.
And a lot was made. Oh, Truex hasn't won a short track race. Yada yada yada. But I mean, he's proven that he is a short track racer.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the wins to prove it. He should have won. He had the car to win at Richmond. He had a car that could have won at Bristol, and then he had that run in with Kyle Busch.
Well, he had back-to-back top fives. He finished in the top five last fall at Martinsville and in the spring at Martinsville. So I'm with you. Yeah, he can wheel the car around a short track. There's no question about that. It's just luck hasn't fallen his way to take home the checkered flag at it.
No, it hasn't. But no, my heartbeat was definitely beating over those last 10 laps.
Absolutely.
It was riveting to watch, and I will say I think it was the best 15 laps of racing we've seen all year.
Can't disagree with you there. So you mentioned in your piece yesterday Denny sitting back there salivating, hoping to collect each other. They almost did, sliding off each other sideways. Denny was able to beat Martin Truex to the line, but not enough. Did you talk to Denny after the race, or can you expound a little bit on what you put out yesterday?
Yeah, I talked to him on pit road after the race, but the best stuff he said was in the media center. That's where he said he wanted them to crash harder, which was, I think, one of the quotes of the night. But yeah, this is one of his best tracks on the circuit. He's gone winless since the Southern 500 last year. And so this was one of his
It was circled on the calendar.
Oh, I'm sure it was. And it's also one of his home tracks. He's got two of them, but this is his better one. But yeah, he really wants that win, because if he wins, he extends his streak of seasons with at least one win.
Yep.
To 13. He's won in every year he's been in Cup.
Yep.
And when you think about it, you could have Denny Hamlin and Jimmy Johnson
winless. Yeah. No, I
mentioned
that last week. Between the two of them, they combined for 14 wins at Martinsville. This would have been the track for one of them to go out and make noise. So all right. I want to go back to the drama battle, if you will, that Martinsville has brought upon us. So since this playoff format started with the elimination and top four competing at Homestead, this isn't new. 2014, Harvick and Kenseth. Harvick, after the race at Martinsville, said he won't win this championship if we don't. Kenseth and Logano, 2015. I don't recall a big incident from 16, but last year you had Denny and Chase. This year you've got Logano and Martin Truex, where Truex mirrors Harvick's comments from 2014. And by the way, Harvick went on to win 14, so I wonder if Truex will get the same redemption.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Regarding last year, remember, the Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott thing, that wasn't the end of the race.
Right. You're right.
That was 10 to go regulation.
Yes.
Very few people remember how that race actually ended. that ended with Kyle Busch winning in front of Martin Truex Jr. as like 15 cars wreck out of turn four, which does not happen in Martinsville.
Right. No, I'm with you.
I actually tweeted this Sunday night and then again Monday morning. Martinsville's the new Bristol.
Yes.
What people want, you know, people say, oh, I miss old Bristol from the 90s and Bump and Run and Rex. That's
You've
Martinsville
got it.
Now.
You've got that, it, yes.
This is it. If you don't like the new Bristol, which I like the new Bristol.
It's grown on me.
But no, this is what you want. This is something will happen. I mean, nothing really happened in the spring race. Clint Bowyer kind of ran away with that. But no, this is it. You've got two straight years of stuff to talk about on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not going to lie. I was actually kind of hoping Keselowski would have gotten it done just because I think a spoiler winner in the playoffs is cool, especially from someone that was in the playoffs, would have guaranteed at least two guys making it on points. And with the points kind of close and closer, they would have been had Logano not won. I think that would have been cool and made the next two races even more interesting had we've gotten a spoiler win at Martinsville.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. We haven't had a spoiler win yet in the playoffs so far. But no, and people were talking about like, oh, there's no team orders at Team Penske because Keselowski was racing Logano like he was still in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was also exciting because at one point it looked like Keselowski was going to run away with it. And then you had, I think that's when the Clint Bowyer spin happened. A lot changed in the last 30 laps at Martinsville.
Absolutely.
And anytime you can have the crowd just being loud and cheering, booing for 2 years in a row in this same race, you've got a good product.
Absolutely.
And you don't need, even without the last turn fireworks, it was still a good product over the last 20 laps. So I'm loving it.
Absolutely. I'm with you. All right. So outside looking in on the standings, you got Kurt Busch 25 back out of third, that is. You got Elliott 31 out of third. And I say third because you've got Logano in fourth, but he's in. So really they're chasing Harvick in third. And you got Almirola 50 out of third. Two races to go. I don't know. For me, I say it's must wins for those guys. Is it too early to say that? Or do you see maybe a points shift potentially happening?
I mean, going to Texas, I really think it's still going to be the big three there.
Sure, I'm with you.
A mile and a half track, and everyone else pretty much who's not Logano, Busch, Elliott, Bowyer, Almirola, they haven't really been front runners at Texas since the repave. They've been, though, Truex and Almirola, I think they each wrecked in the spring. Otherwise, they've really just been finishing in the back end of the top 10. Barring something weird like at Kansas where Harvick got, penalized in the pit, I think it's going to be the three, either him, Busch, or Kyle Busch and Truex, really. You have everything building up with Truex over this year, and remember what happened in this race last year.
Yep.
Harvick passed him it was 10 to go.
Yes.
And pulled away. I think it'll probably just be another big three bonsai.
All right. I am with you there. I can't argue Texas against that. It's a mile and a half. It's Texas. It's, from what we've gotten in 2018, that would suggest that's what we're going to get. And we'll find out Sunday. Cup guys back at it. Lone Star State, Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock start. Sir, I'm going to hit some social media real quick. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, tell your friends. You can listen just about anywhere you listen to podcasts. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers, giving away a signed 124 diecast by Richard Childress, t-shirt, some koozies. I've got the giveaways leading up to episode 100. Going to give away some t-shirts tonight after the show. Over to some new followers on Twitter. Let's see here. We got Rodolfo at RudyGlove27 from North Carolina. Penguins, Pirates, and NASCAR fan and a veteran. Thank you, sir, for your service. Kurt at the EMAD Caper from Kentucky loves dirt racing. Joy at Joy Riley 19 from Texas and a big NASCAR fan. Magic Michael 329 at Odell underscore Michael from New York. Big NASCAR and WWE fan. Hell yeah. David at Solomon 72 Chevy from Monica, PA. A PSU alum. We got ourselves a little battle this weekend, brother. Go Blue. Christian at C Jones underscore 24 underscore NASCAR and Vikings fan. I'll be in Minnesota this weekend, probably watching your Vikings destroy my Lions. If you guys want a sticker and koozie, don't forget to go to the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send one out to you. All right, sir. We got some silly season updates going on here. You ready to talk a little silly season? Excellent. All right, so not a whole lot of silly season news, but do want to get your take on Jimmy Johnson, new sponsor, 2 years, full-time, Ally Financial. Not completely new to the sport. They were back when they were GMAC with Brian Vickers, with I believe it was HMS at that time as well. Coming back into the sports under their new name, Ally. You know, I really didn't have any doubt that Jimmy Johnson wasn't going to pull a sponsor, but what's your take on who it is?
I had never heard of it until Sunday.
No kidding.
Finding out, you know, it used to be GMAC. That's cool that it used to be an old, very significant partner for him, Hendrick Motorsports. It'll be interesting to see what his paint scheme is, given the color palette for Ally.
Right.
I think it's like white and purple.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very interesting to
absolutely
see what the 48 looks like next year.
I'm with you. I think it's exciting. You know, obviously, you know, it doesn't come cheap to get your name on the 48's car. So I guess being a financial institution helps with that a little bit. So I found some irony there. That's for sure.
And to be a full-time sponsor for 2 years.
Yes. That's a big commitment. I mean, that was a big check they wrote. Big check. And then, you know, we still have some unknowns with some rumors. You know, obviously we still got Kurt probably associated with the one. Martin Truex probably associated with the 19. Still some debate on who maybe gets the 41 seat. But I got to imagine we're probably not going to find out any of the unknowns at this point until after Homestead. Is that a safe assumption, or do you think we might get an announcement on some of these beforehand?
I think you kind of have to make some of the announcements before the season is completely out. But I'm not sure. We could get an announcement in December on something.
Right.
You know, yeah, there's still a few holes. I mean, you know, some of them are moves or in NASCAR, but you know, they're still not official. So
yeah.
We'll find out when they make them.
They make them, absolutely. All right, sir. I'm going to give you a quick break here, and we are going to drop in the weather segment real quick, and I will be right back with Mr. Daniel McFadden. After a week off from weather and just talking some college football, back again, as he is each and every week. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and check out the website raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell, what's going on, man?
Brandon, how are you?
It's
going well down here in Houston.
Excellent, excellent. It's fall is in full swing up here. It's getting colder. And yeah, you know, Christmas decorations are going to go up real soon.
Yeah, it depends what store you go into. They may already be up.
Exactly, exactly. I don't hate on that. I'm all good with that. But I love me some Christmas, so it's all good.
Hey, I'm just thinking the reason I can put my tree back up.
Right. See, that's the thing. Like, you know, I'm all about, you know, Well, I put it up for 2 weeks, put all that work, effort in decorating the house, like put it up, enjoy it. And that's my thought anyways.
Up till Memorial Day.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Little break last week we'll do a little break this week from the football talk. Michigan on a bye this past weekend, so nothing really to discuss there, but I am excited. The college football playoff rankings will be announced here in, what, maybe 15, 20 minutes, so curious to see where Michigan gets ranked. But big game coming up this weekend with Penn State. How's the weather looking for that one?
Cloudy skies. It's a 2:30 local. It's actually a 3:30 local start. Cloudy skies. Chance of isolated showers. There is a front pushing through earlier that day. There might be some lingering showers. The biggest factor is going to be a west wind, 10 to 15 miles an hour. The high for the day will be 53 degrees, and that will be dropping through the afternoon.
Ooh. All right. Well, that'll be some typical Michigan football weather.
Yes, the couch might be the better place to be
absolutely
watching.
Absolutely. You know, I can honestly say that's one reason why I probably don't have Michigan season tickets is just because, one, it's a hassle getting to and from the stadium. But, man, yeah, I think it would get old being out there in weather like this, you know. So props to the 110-plus thousand that have gone each and every game for I don't know how many 100-plus games Michigan has had, but I know we hold the record for it, so.
Yes, you're correct.
All right, Texas this week. What do we got in the heart of Texas?
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in
sunny
the heart
skies
of Texas.
On Friday.
Okay.
Yes. Sunny skies on Friday, high of 75, morning low of 45. So it'll be a bit chilly in the morning if for any of the crew going out there or fans out there to watch early practices. Saturday, sunny, 77 for the high, morning low of 51. Winds really pick up in the afternoon. South to southwesterly winds, 20 to 24 miles an hour with higher gusts. Sunday, cloudy skies, chance of showers. That's been in the forecast since the weekend and we had that Patreon post. And I made a comment that it's not as easy as the app may make it seem because the timing's been a little bit of sporadic. The American model have it come through early, have it come through late, have it come through early, you kind of flip it around. The European model, the Canadian model have been very steady, very consistent. So that would show morning showers. Afternoon, they push through. Skies won't clear, but it looks drier. And I want to say this is pretty much a forecast right now when I go ahead and write it up for raceweather.net. Tonight will be morning showers, and then afternoon will be dry. Winds northwest 20 to 25 miles an hour. Again, we're looking at a situation where the high of the day is going to be 67, but that's going to drop pretty rapidly into the afternoon hours where you're looking in the upper 50s by late afternoon.
A little cold for Texas, eh?
Yeah, we're actually getting a bit of – usually the seasons down here are summer and not so summer.
Right.
But we actually had we got a little blue norther, and it's a little bit of that, and we've had some snow past couple of winters, and it's been actually kind of nice, a little bit home up down here.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like we're going to have a green track on Sunday and a comp caution around lap 25.
That sounds like another very good forecast right there.
I love it. All right, everyone, make sure you are following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out the website, raceweather.net. Aaron, have a great week. Talk to you soon. Go Blue.
Thank you, sir. Go Blue.
We'll see you. Always great talking with Mr. Aaron Studwell, and I am back with the wonderful Daniel McFadden from NBC Sports with NASCAR Talk. All right, sir, it is time for everybody's favorite segment of the show, and that is the Lucky Dog and Lapdown picks of the weekend. We will give our picks. We'll get to the waiver on hotline, and then we will go over the tweeted responses that I got. So I will start with you there, sir. Who or what is your lucky dog of the race weekend?
All right, my lucky dog is Kurt Busch. He finished sixth on Sunday at Martinsville, which is his best finish at Martinsville since he won there in the spring race in 2014. He hadn't finished in the top 10 since that race, So that'd been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 races without a top 10 at Martinsville. And then he goes out, starts sixth, finishes sixth. And that bounces him back from really two pretty bad performances over the last – well, not bad at Talladega, unfortunate circumstances at Talladega.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then he had a so-so race at Kansas, nothing to write home about. So he should be able to get back on track. And I think he's going to be someone you need to be watching out for over the last two races. He's been consistent all year.
Yes.
All year.
Yes. I think he's got the most consistent average finish, best average of just about anybody out there. So I like that. That's a great pick. I'm going with the fans as the lucky dog. We wanted short track racing finishes, and we definitely got one. So the fans are my lucky dog of the race weekend. Lap down. Who are you putting a lap down?
Kyle Larson. He cannot catch the only other snake bit driver that's more snake bitten than Martin Truex Jr. is Kyle Larson.
I like that. I like that.
He was sponsored by First Data, which was sponsored the race Sunday at Martinsville, and then he goes and blows an engine late-ish in the race, and he just can't seem to figure out Martinsville, because he was three laps down when his engine blew. So, and even though he finished third last week at Kansas, he's just not in a good place, really.
I'm with you
over these last few races. So I bet he's just waiting to get to Homestead. I'm
going to
pick Kyle Larson.
I'm with you. I am also putting the fans a lap down because we got what we wanted. Stop complaining on social media. Stop it. You're done. You're banned. You're done. Oh. All right. We will be right back. I'm going to go drop in the calls here from the Wave Around Hotline, and then we will run through the tweeted responses here.
Hey, this is Mike Odell. My Twitter handle is Odell_Michael, first-time caller. I guess I want to start by saying that was a great finish to the race. Super entertaining. I probably stood in front of the TV for at least the last 25 laps. Just, it was so exciting. Plus, side note, my DraftKings team was doing really well. I ended up winning about $40, which was nice, but I digress. Anyway, so the race is coming down to the end, and I'm thinking the whole time that Logano should be just thanking his lucky stars that he had a teammate in Keselowski behind him, and he didn't get moved out of the way. And then Truex raced him as a gentleman. So as far as my lucky dog pick, I'm going to go with Joey Logano, because he probably could have been moved and just, you know, not won that race literally dozens of times in the final, you know, 40 laps. And for my lap down pick, I'm going to go a little bit outside of the box just because it was hard to pick somebody, in my opinion. But I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney, even though he's my guy. He qualified fourth. He finished third in the first stage. And after that, he just, like, fell off a cliff and was not fast at all and ended up finishing 20th. The last car in the lead lap. Meanwhile, his teammates are like winning the race and, you know, finishing in the top three or four. So Blaney's my lap down. So take it easy.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Glad you called in. Appreciate that. You know, I got a comment on what you said about Keselowski potentially being able to move Logano there. I agree. And I think Keselowski, the fact he's been out of the playoffs kind of switches to the team mode a little bit. You know what? We've got somebody that's in the playoffs. You know, not to say I'm going to hand him a win, but you know what? I'm going to help my teammate out if I can. I think Keselowski dropped back a few spots, so I'm assuming maybe he thought he didn't have enough to get out there and try to attract or run down Truex. So I think Keselowski went to teammate mode there, which is good to have when you're in a situation like that. So thanks for calling. Hope to hear you again soon on the Waiver Own Hotline. Let's move right along to caller number two.
Hey, Brandon. John Warrington here at Racing_64. Oh, well, Martinsville's come and gone, and it wasn't our typical Martinsville race, but it was a pretty good one. Usually when you go to Martinsville, I like it because you have a lot of cautions. Not necessarily because you got a lot of wrecks, but when you have all those cautions, you have so many guys on the lead lap and so many different pit strategies where you see different guys up towards the front. So we didn't get that, but we did get a nice 50, 60, whatever that last run was, where guys are, they were racing hard for it. Truck race, I didn't get to see. I ended up being busy on Saturday, and I've only watched part of it so far. But so I don't really have anything to say about that. But I do know Sauter won. And then the pass for the lead, for the win on Sunday. I don't like Joey Logano, but I think I'm going to let his pass go. Truex didn't get into the wall, and he didn't spin. It was for the last lap. I wouldn't say clean, but it's definitely racing. That's what we go out for. I'm going to use that as my lucky dog, is Logano going for the win. As for my lap down, it's going to be the Racing Wives TV show. The trailer for that came out, and it looks like absolute garbage. Nothing. I don't see anything good coming to NASCAR with that being on the air. Bunch of fake stuff. Not even close to NASCAR. And, you know, if you want to talk about NASCAR movies and TV shows, that's a topic for another day. But NASCAR needs to get behind something and get a good, serious movie or TV show to help get a little hype, not this junk. So we'll see you at Texas next week. Thank you.
Hey, John, thank you for the call. Good to hear you again on the Waiver Own Hotline. You know, I got to agree with you on Logano's pass there. You know, maybe at Martinsville that doesn't happen in the spring. Martinsville in the fall, that's going to happen. And it's probably going to happen at Martinsville in the spring, too. It's just, you know, it's bump and run, man. You know, he didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion. Like, I know a lot of people have said on social media and on broadcast, TV, all that. You know, he didn't wreck him. He didn't wreck the field. He finished the race. You know, so from that regard, I mean, it's short track racing for a championship. You know, but I digress. All right. Let's get over to the last call on the Waiver Own Hotline. You know who it is, Mr. Andrew Kantzian.
What's up, Brandon? It's Andrew. Another week, another controversial finish in the playoffs. And I tell you what, man, that was exciting as hell to watch. I think this season started off as one of the most boring and predictable seasons and has turned out to be the exact opposite. It's like the light bulb kind of went on midway through the season. And it's been unpredictable, exciting, and luckily the controversy has been on track, which is good. With that finish, I don't have an issue with it. There's a difference between what Denny Hamlin did last year and what Joey Logano did this year. I mean, Logano gave Truex a chance to save the car, and they were both going forward at the end of the race, which is the way it should be. It's also different from what happened with Noah Gragson and Todd Gilliland. That was just Noah Gragson being stupid. It wasn't on purpose, but you know, that's another example. I know Jeff Gluck kind of brought that up in his post-race column, if anyone read that. That's the way it should be, man. You knock him out of the way, it was cleanly, and you got a chance to go to Homestead. And if I was Truex, I'd be pretty pissed off, too. You know, you can't blame him for it. But that's what this format, unfortunately, wants you to do, and that's the way it is. And I'll be honest, the format's grown on me tremendously, especially with the new playoff and stage points. So that goes into it. So that's the lucky dog right there, man. That's the finish. That's what NASCAR is supposed to be. Lap down, man. You got to put Eric Almirola at lap down. His two teammates too, Bowyer and Busch, and then Chase Elliott, they did not need to see Joey Logano win that race. That really makes it easier for the big three, that dumb term, to move to the championship four, which looks more likely now with the playoff situation. But you never know. One guy wins, and that changes everything. Another lap down is this just bizarre-ass Halloween weekend that I can't even begin to explain. If I told you what happened, I don't know if anyone would believe it. So luckily there's part two this weekend. Hopefully less bizarre. That would be ideal. Thanks, man. Have a good week.
Mr. Andrew Cantia, thank you for calling into the Waiver on Hotline. As always, you know, you made you used the word predictable there to start the 2018 season. And you're right. The end of the season has been anything but predictable. You know, who would have thought that the big three would only have one win seven races into the playoffs? And like you said, you know, Logano winning kind of threw a wrench in it for three other Stewart Haas cars right now, because of the fact that Logano would have been much more, I don't want to say much more, but deeper in a points hole had he not won and kept a little bit closer from a points perspective in terms of how spaced out it is right now in the standing. So good call there. Thanks for calling, everybody. Make sure you call each and every week at the end of the race. Leave a message. Play it back. That's simple. All right. Thank you to everyone that called the Wave Around Hotline and left some voicemails there. I love that. Get over to some tweeted responses. Feel free to chime in there, sir, if you got a comment for anybody. Scott.
All right.
Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog is Logano for the win and Martin Truex Jr. for the run from the back to the front. Right? That was hell. You talked about that a little bit ago. Lap down,
yes,
another tie between Harvick and Chase. Great start, but never in contention. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fan's lucky dog Logano. I think it was a very fair short track move. Didn't wreck him, just rattled his cage. Earnhardt style.
Yeah, buddy.
Lap down is Kurt Busch, Bowyer, Almirola, and Elliott. Logano's win put all four in a deep hole and probably in a must-win situation. Can't disagree with that one.
Mm-hmm.
David at David C. James, lucky dog. Logano's pit crew, they were on fire all day. Got him out front for a late restart. Absolutely. Penske pit crews, ever since Darlington, have been on fire. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Lap down, Martin Truex Jr.'s attitude recent weeks. Hating on drivers, going for the win. He's not reacting well to adversity. Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog. NASCAR fans everywhere. The gauntlet has been dropped. The tone is set. No more Mr. Nice Guy. It's on. We're going to see some old school racing now for the rest of the chase. Lap down. No one like him, hate him, let him race. I'm with you there, sir. Let him go. Eddie at 3Wide_FastEddie's a lucky dog, Martinsville. The paperclip delivered again. Everybody's talking. We love drama. Lap down, Clint Bowyer, plain and simple, missed out on the opportunity to go to Homestead. Logano's win makes it worse. And last but not least, John at DNader's lucky dog, Twitter's timeline, as much drama as there was on the track. You are not lying about that one, sir. And John's lap down, Harvick, not in any real danger, but was expecting some better results. I can't disagree with you there either. Everyone, go ahead.
I'll bet Kevin Harvick's not really good at Martinsville.
No, he's got one win from 2011. But it's definitely not his strongest track. That's for sure.
I wasn't surprised by it at all. Really, I know I believe he finished fifth. They're actually the previous two races, but
overall, if you look at his career, that is not one of his better tracks, that's for sure.
They're wanting to get to Fort Worth and then
out to Phoenix
first.
Absolutely,
sure,
absolutely. Thank you to everyone.
He only has
that tweeted. Oh, you're good. Thank you to everyone that tweeted and called the Waiver On Hotline. Don't forget to tweet your picks right after the checkered flag up through Tuesday. And you can always leave a message on the Waiver On Hotline, 248-965-9538, and I will play those back. All right, sir. I'm going to recap a little lap traffic fantasy here. Everyone, make sure to get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction going. There's only 3 races to go. Don't forget about the survey link on the website under the fantasy page. That's open to anyone. If you're playing, if you want to play next year, just looking for your feedback to make improvements for the fantasy league next year. 7 players picked Sauter for the truck win. Nice job there. Only 1 player, Mr. Andrew Cancian, picked Logano for the win in the Cup Series. Week high was 109 points from Jeff Hess, my uncle, and Urban with their picks of Kyle Busch and Johnny Sauter. Second place week high with 97 points from the Lapped Traffic's own Mr. Aaron Studwell and the very famous Chloe Yunker with their picks of Kyle Busch and Noah Gregson. That said, it continues to pain me to say it that the MOATF podcast has retained their first place lead for the second week in a row over to the top 10 standings for segment 3. The MOATF podcast in first with 564, David James in second with 557, Jeff Legg in third with 550, two-way tie for fourth with 549 with Andrew Cansey and Paul Hollenbeck. In fifth is Chloe Yunker with 548. In sixth, we've got a two-way tie with Kathleen and Kayla with 538. In seventh is Jamie Rowden with 527. Two-way tie for eighth with 518 with John Elliott and Matt Fossum. I'm sitting in ninth with 515, and wrapping out the top 10 is Chris Lowther with 514. Over to the cumulative standings, Chloe Yunker is back in first place with 33.04. Tommy Witten second with 32.27. David James in third with 32.12. John Entwistle in fourth with 32.01. And Jeff Legg reps out our top 5 cumulative with 31.69. MOATF, don't worry, I will win. Like Martin Truex Jr. states, you're not going to win. So that said, I'm coming for you, whether it's in the lap traffic fantasy league or with our bet. And I said it was Andrew last week, and I mistakenly was looking at my notes and meant to say David. David, you are going to be embarrassed greatly with the t-shirt that you are going to have to wear. That said, picks from Martinsville. Trucks, I had Moffitt who finished second, and I did gamble a little bit with Harvick finishing 10th. That said, sir, it is time for the picks. We are going for all 3 series for the remainder of the season. We go back cookie cutter racing to the mile and a half. We're going deep in the heart of Texas. We look at the big 3. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick finished this race 1 and 2 in the spring. Martin Truex Jr. finished last. Something tells me he will not be finishing last on Sunday. We will find out Sunday, but first it is time for the picks. This race last fall saw Kevin Harvick stamp his ticket to Homestead, with Martin Truex Jr. finishing second, Kyle Busch 19th. Like Martinsville, Martin Truex Jr. is winless. Harvick's got a win. Kyle Busch has 3 wins. Do one of the big 3 stamp their ticket to Homestead? Does Joey Logano make it back-to-back and pick up his first win in Texas? Could someone play spoiler? Does Martin Truex Jr.'s challenge to Logano to a duel in Texas? We'll find out Sunday. First, it's time for our pick. Sir, we pick all 3 in lap traffic. Who is your truck series pick for this weekend at Texas?
Oh, I'm going to take Noah Gregson.
Oh, I like that pick. I am going with Sauter. He's won 3 of the last 4, dominated Martinsville. I'm going to take Sauter. We're going to head over to the Xfinity Series, sir, there. Who is your pick in the Xfinity Series?
Let's go with Daniel Hamrick. Finally getting it
done for RCR. First, I like that.
First NASCAR win ever.
I like that. So. I'm going with Christopher Bell for the rebound. I need to get some points, so I got to play it safe if there is a safe card there. Over to the Cup Series, sir. Who is your pick?
I think Kyle Busch is going to... No, think Harvick's gonna get it done,
Kevin Harvick,
again this year.
Kevin Harvick gets it done at Texas. I am going with Martin Truex only because I want to see him and Joey Logano with boxing gloves imposed on a poster. And if Martin Truex does it, that's the perfect setting for that. So let's keep that drama. Let's keep that fun going there. So I'm going with Martin Truex. I think that'd be awesome if those are the first two to stamp their ticket to Homestead. Those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take this week. All right. That's going to do it. Episode 97 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. I'm going to go give away some T-shirts on Periscope right now. Big thanks to Daniel McFadden from NBC Sports for coming on the show. Daniel, where can everybody find you, and where can everybody watch the race at this weekend?
You can follow me on Twitter at Daniel McFadden, all one word, and my last name is spelled MCFADIN, in case you didn't read this episode description. And you can also follow my work on at Facebook at facebook.com/DanielMcFaddenWrites. And you can watch this weekend's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Texas Motor Speedway on NBC.
Love it. I love the enthusiasm there. That's awesome. All right. Next week on episode 98 from Yahoo Sports, Jay Busby will be on. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya.